Our scripture reading this morning is the Psalms, number 14, if you'd like to join me in following along. Our time of reading scripture without comment. Psalms, number 14, beginning at verse 1, we read, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no law, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Amen. We're continuing in our series of messages through the book of Luke. If you'd like to turn to the 8th chapter, Luke chapter 8. And we looked at the first 3 verses in our study last week. This week I want to read those first 3 verses again, along with through verse 10. So if you're with me in Luke chapter 8, let's begin in verse 1. "And it came to pass afterward," and that's telling us that after the Lord had gone to the house of Simon, after the Lord had been accused of dining with sinners and debtors, after the Lord had healed a woman, a centurion servant, after he had risen from the dead a woman's son who was on in his funeral procession, he says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him," the 12 apostles, those who were called. And it also says in verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." And we read those first 3, and we considered the privilege that you and I have in coming together, the privilege that these folks had in walking with the Lord Jesus, the privilege of you and I who walk in the light, not in the light of what we are, but in the light of our Savior, the light of the world. And then it goes on in verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." Now, a parable is, I'm pretty sure all of you know who it is, but just in case, a parable is a story. It's a fictitious story. It's a fictional story that has a meaning of some sort. It makes it easy to take what a person is saying without them telling you what the meaning is, and for you to go with whatever meaning you want. Isn't that strange? Now, the Lord has been very, very clear. He doesn't hide who he is. He's been very, very clear about who he is, the Son of God. He's been very, very clear in what he's done. His actions have proved who he is, the Son of God, with power. But yet here, he speaks in a parable with full knowledge that those who hear this parable can interpret it any way they want to. Let's go through that. A sower, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell in the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" he said, verse 10, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now, there's a lot here in those verses, and we may continue in these verses next week looking at the sower. Most of us here, I believe, have heard the parable of the sower many, many times. And there's a lot of wonderful things that we can look at in that. But I want to consider this morning in verse 8. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When you think about that, when you stop and look at those words that our Lord said there, and it says he cried. He cried it out. People heard him saying this very thing. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That means there's people who don't hear, doesn't it? What is my main theme of every message I have? God's grace for his people. To hear these words. This is not John saying this. This is God Almighty himself telling you and I that there are some who will not hear. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 10 is very clear. Election is not a secret. It's not hidden. There's no question about it. God gives some ears and others he leaves them out. Look at verse 10 again, if you would, with me. What does it say there? "And he said, unto you it is given." Unto you, the 12. That's who asked him the question. His disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Unto you, not to all the rest of them. What does it say back up there in verse number 4 again? Look up there at number 4. What is it saying to us there? It's saying, when much people were gathered together. So there's all kinds of people around him. And the Lord is saying, unto you. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. Mark your spot here in Luke. We'll come back. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. Over there in Isaiah chapter 6, we read these words in verses 9 and 10. Speaking to the prophet. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not." Some of you are going to hear. You folks, you people. You that are coming to this world born sinners, dead in trespasses and sin, you hear with the ears of your head, but understand not. Going on in that same verse, "And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Grace is to be given eyes to see, ears to hear. We were talking about this a little bit ago in Bible study. God's people remember the day when the Lord spoke to us through ears of the heart for the first time, don't we? And God's word came to us not just through the voice of a man standing in the pulpit, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to a new heart. Not that old stony one that we're born with. You got to cut that out and get rid of that. You can't put new wine in an old flask. You know why? Because the old wine, the residue of it will ruin. It's like a little leaven. A little leaven will ruin a whole lump. A little bit of old wine, a little bit of that old law, a little bit of that old self-righteousness will ruin the new wine. What's the new wine? Righteousness in our Savior. And only in Him. God has to cut that old heart out and give us a new heart. One that doesn't shake our fist. He makes us willing in the day of His power, willing to come and say, Jesus is my Lord. I was talking about that. You know, James and I were speaking a little bit about that last night. You can't be around James Looper and not know who his God is. You can't be around John Reeves and not know who my God is. He's sovereign ruler over everything. And by His power was I called out of darkness, as we saw in our Bible study this morning. The effectual heavenly calling. Grace is the knowledge of truth. It's the knowledge of what we were before a thrice holy God, as we came into this world dead in trespasses and sin. And subsequently, for that, what we have earned as a rebellious sinner against our Creator, we know what we deserve before God. That's grace, that knowledge of who we are before a thrice holy God. Rebellious sinners. Rebellious against our Creator, full of unbelief, full of sin. Grace is to see the depth of God's love for a people, a depth so deep He sent His only begotten Son as our substitute, our sacrificial lamb, our spotless, pure, and righteous Son of God, to lay down His own life in our stead. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's grace. That's what grace is all about right there. Verse 8 of our text says, He cried out. He made His words plain for all of those that were around Him to hear. And as I said a moment ago, verse 4 tells us that much people were gathered. Many heard His audible voice, but few heard with ears of the heart. Turn over to John. Turn over to the right. John chapter 10. The self-righteous, the proud, they come to the Lord Jesus here this day. In verse 23 of John chapter 10, walking in the temple in Solomon's porch, and they came round about Him, these self-righteous, religious Jews. And you can put that, you can take that word Jew out of there and put any religion you want. Because all religions are self-righteous religions. Only the truth of God's grace can save a person. These ones came to the Lord Himself face to face, and they said, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25, and the Lord Jesus answered him, He says, I told you. See, he wasn't bashful about it. He told them clearly, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, all of those things that the Lord did, all of those things that the Lord did that we just read about in chapter 7, all the raising the dead and the healing of the sick. That's what those people were all gathered around about for. He fed 5,000 on a mountain. I'm hungry, I'll go and eat. That's what they were there for. They weren't there for the salvation of their soul. Folks, there are none that seeketh after God, and that was you and I. That was us. The only reason we seek Him now is because He's given us. He's given us the gift of faith to believe His Word, to seek after Him in truth and in the knowledge of His Son, the Lord Jesus. It says there, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is the title of today's message, Ears to Hear. We have ears where we did not before. Why? Did we just get smart one day? Did you guys just all of a sudden one day, you know what? I've been a fool all my life, chasing after something religious, trying to save myself when I can't. Now I'm going to start being smarter and just, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and worship the true and living God. Is that what you guys did? I didn't. I haven't met a true believer in Christ that has ever said that. Everyone that I have ever, that I know of, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to His Word will tell you the same thing. I was not seeking Him when He sought me. Amen. Our Lord says to those religious, self-righteous, and that would have been you and I at one time. I know, I didn't go to church anywhere, but I went to John's religion. Ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Ears to hear. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never. Do you hear these words? Do they hear these words, child of God? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, this is the Lord Jesus. Who's He talking to here? He's talking to those unbelieving Jews. Over in our text, He's talking to the disciples. And what does He say back there? Let me go back there and read that again for you before I read verse 31. Unto you, He said. This is unto His people, unto His chosen people. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, that they might not see, and hearing might not understand. To you, His chosen people, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we see election. We see the Word of God declaring there are some who will hear and some who will not. My sheep, He says, will hear. The world hates election, doesn't it? The religious world hates election. They say it's not fair to unregenerate man. How is it that God would choose one and not another? Has this one done something better than the other? The answer to that, you and I know, is no. We're no better than anybody else in the flesh. They say it's not fair to unregenerate men. How dare you tell me that I'm a sinner? That's what my aunt was saying to me. That was what she was saying to me the day she poked me in the chest and said, "Don't you take my free will away from me." She's saying, "How dare you call me a sinner? I used to be, but I go to church now. I used to be a sinner, but I don't do the things that I used to do." The world hates election. How dare you call me a sinner? How dare you say my baby is not innocent? Where do you get off saying that I would choose evil by nature? I'm not telling you that at all, folks. God's word tells us that. I've not said one word of any of that. But only one who has been given life, given a new heart, given new ears, will hear his word. That's grace. That's pure and simple. You boil all that we've talked about so far for the last 15, 20 minutes. You boil it all down, reduce it down to the pot, and it's a pot full of grace. All grace. "My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life." Look what that does. Look what happens when you tell the world, the religious, self-righteous world, that. Look at verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want you to see. Election is not just something you see in the New Testament. We know that the idea that God chose Jacob and hated Esau was a picture of election. We read that in Romans. Before the twins were ever born, God chose one. Before they ever did anything good or evil, God had chosen one. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse 4. "Yet the Lord hath not given you." This is what I would say to my aunt who says, "Don't take my free will away from me." The Lord says differently. He says, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, to understand, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." Who is it that gave the people the hearts to understand? It's God. It's God who gave us our heart of understanding. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, He comes to us in the day of His love, in the day of His power, and gives us the understanding of truth. In Romans chapter 11, we're talking about the grace of God in shining His light, in revealing Himself to His people, His elect. Over in chapter 11 of Romans, we read in verses 8 through 10, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back way." So we see here, it says, according as it is written. According as it is written where? Turn over to Isaiah 29. Isaiah chapter 29. And over in Isaiah chapter 29, we read in verse 10, Isaiah 29, verse 10, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of the book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I have not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, For much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. This was you. This was every one of you at one time, running from God, saying, I'm not going to believe that. That's what free willism is. It's, I'm not going to believe that. It's my will, not God's. When the Lord says in Romans chapter 9, I believe it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, I'm not going to believe that. I choose my own destination. That was you and I. That was each and every one of us. That is each and every one for whom the Lord went to that cross and died for. It says, whosoever believeth in John 3:16. Not one of us believed until God came and gave us the gift of belief. We gave honor with our lips. We said there is a God. But our hearts were far from him. We said, I am my own ruler. None shall rule over me. Yet grace has overruled, hasn't it? Grace overruled my old dark heart. Grace overruled my deaf ears. And the Lord came and opened my ears to the word of truth. Listen to these words. And ye shall be my people, saith the Lord. And I will be your God. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 22. Over in Leviticus 11:45, we read this. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt. You know what the land of Egypt is to you and I? The land of bondage. The land of our bondage and sin. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be, James. He brought you up out of the land of bondage to be your God. And he will be your God. Isn't that wonderful? That's grace. That's unmerited favor. That's irresistible grace that we can't turn away from. Knowing what we were and what we deserve, why would we turn away from free grace in the sovereign Lord of all things? Our guarantee, our assurity of salvation. Found only in him. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now I know every one of you, and I got three fingers pointing right back at me as I go, every one of you, get up and look in the mirror and say, I don't see any holiness there. Well, it's because we're looking at the wrong figure. We should be looking at our Savior, because that's where our holiness is. We have no confidence in this flesh. There's a reason for that. It's dead flesh. It's got to return to the dust. Our only confidence is in the one who lived, loved us, and gave himself for us. How can this one whom is declared unclean, declared unworthy, declared a sinner, how can we be holy? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. How can we be holy? The Lord says in Leviticus, ye shall therefore be holy. Doesn't say maybe, doesn't say might, but it says, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. How? How can that be? Look over here at Isaiah 53. Surely, verse 4, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read these words, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's what we were just reading there. Isaiah was describing the Lord Jesus Christ. After asking the Lord in verse 1, who will believe our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He goes on to describe who that arm of the Lord is. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's how the Lord spoke to us in the past, but in now hath in these last tight days spoken us unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Remember what we read a moment ago in John 10? I and my Father are one. The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. What power? All power in heaven and earth belong unto him. When he had by himself purged. Isn't that a good word? That's one of those words that's almost fun to say. Purged. He by himself purged my sin. And after doing so, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Remember what we read a moment ago? Remember what I quoted for you from 2 Corinthians 5? For he hath made him. How can we be holy? How can the Lord say to us back in Leviticus, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is how he hath made him, his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, who was perfect in every way, who walked this earth in perfection, satisfying everything that the Father desired. For you, and for I, and for me. He made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is what we come to the table of remembrance for. It's to hold before us that he by himself. This is what this table is all about. To remind us that he by himself purged us of our sin and made us righteous in his Son, the Lord Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Turn over to Matthew 13. And we'll bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 13. Our Lord had just given the parable. For those of you who have not been able to join us, we are looking at the book of Matthew now. We began last Friday night. If you missed it and you're not able to join us, I put a copy of these Bible studies out here on the foyer Sunday morning. Matthew is giving us the same account of the parable of the sower, only he's giving this to us from his view of viewing the statue. I brought out Friday night how we look at the Lord as a statue through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're distinct renditions of the gospel, but all the gospel points to the same statue, the Lord Jesus. So just different views of that statue. It's not like a picture, because you know, you look at a picture here, you can't see what's behind that rock right there, can you? But a statue, you can see the whole surrounding, everything. That's what the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are about, giving us a full picture. And here's Matthew's picture of it, but over in verse 11, We read the parable of the sower now, and in verse 10 it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And here's the Lord's answer according to Matthew. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Remember, our title, our subject are ears to hear. By God's grace, you and I have ears to hear this truth. You know how many people are in churches all around us right now who aren't hearing the truth? That could be us. That could be us if it was not for the grace of God in bringing us here to hear his word spoken. Verse 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Oh, for God's grace to give you and I eyes to see and ears to hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Lord willing, we're going to take another look at that parable next week. Has God in his grace given you ears to see and hear the truth of his word this day?